Hello and welcome into another edition of the J-Mac Podcast. So glad that you are here with us tonight as we answer another important question. Did LeBron James incite violence? Right off the bat, Orion says, bigger question, what is a LeBron James? Well, there isn't time to explain to you what is a LeBron James, but we do have time to talk about whether or not a tweet from LeBron James was an incitement to violence against police officers. Now, this is a continuation of a story that we talked about last week. This is the 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant, who was shot and killed by police as she was getting ready to stab somebody with a very large knife. And we talked about this situation last week. And if you missed that podcast, I really suggest you go back and you watch it, especially if you find yourself in a place where you believe that the officer was not in the correct place. The officer didn't respond properly. I think myself and the majority of people who participated in that podcast came away from that situation with the belief that that officer is a hero and acted appropriately within the limited amount of time that he was given to respond. Well, not everybody felt that way. And in fact, during the podcast, we had a lot of people asking, come on, how many people look at that video and say, this is a police officer acting inappropriately? Well, I've seen interview after interview since then of people suggesting that this officer somehow was supposed to de-escalate the situation in 11 seconds. Because we calculated 11 seconds after getting out of his door, there is a 16-year-old in front of him trying to stab another individual. Meanwhile, bodies are flying everywhere. But yet somehow the officer is supposed to de-escalate. I just do not understand that. That is an expectation that I don't think that we can hold to any police officer. This is Michael. He says, hello, Jay. Hey, Michael. How's it going? Everybody, let me know where you're at. Where are you listening from tonight? And those of you on TikTok, please comment and let me know where you are at and where you are listening from. And answer this question. Answer this question for me. Do you think that LeBron James incited violence? If you don't know what I'm talking about, please take a minute and I will share with you the tweet and what happened. Orion says, you schooled me on that shooting last week. Orion, thank you. I feel like at the end, we all came to a pretty good conclusion. Brandon says, no one should rush to judgment. Facts are important to these tragic incidents. I totally agree with you, Brandon. We have another situation where only 20 seconds of the footage was released to the family. The public hasn't even seen it. And everybody's already decided in that situation what happened. We need a little bit more information. And in fact, typically, I will wait until we have a lot more information. But when I saw the video from Micaiah Bryant, I felt like we had enough information to be able to process what happened and what was going on in that officer's mind. And what were the possible outcomes? I don't always believe that this early on in the process. Jenny joining us on Facebook says, hey, Jay from Logan, Utah. Hey, Jenny. And Michael says it certainly didn't help. Okay, let me give you this scenario. Before we do that, please take a minute and scan that little flow code that you see on the screen. Become a patron of this podcast. If you like what I do here, if you like the things that we talk about, then please support me. Make a one-time donation or a monthly donation. Scan that flow code or go to jmcfarland.com and become a patron. To those of you who are listening right now who are patrons, thank you so much for being a patron and supporting what I am trying to do here. This is Jenny with another great question. We'll get to this, Jenny. She says, do you think he should have been disciplined or fined by the NBA for his tweet? I'm thinking he should. Well, that's a great question, and I'll put that out to everybody else, and we'll answer that along the way. Colin says he is listening from Riverton. I see Bob Preston on TikTok. Bob, say hello. Let us know where you are listening from. So here's the situation. Right after that video was released that we all watched last week of Micaiah Bryant, which is just a tragedy all the way around, LeBron James sent out a tweet, and I'll just show you part of the tweet here. So it's from LeBron James at King James, and it's a picture of the officer who shot Micaiah Bryant. And it says in all caps, "You're next." And then there's an hourglass emoji and then a hashtag accountability. Now, many people are saying this is an incitement to violence against police officers. One of those people, U.S. Senator Tom Cotton, is accusing LeBron James of doing just that. LeBron's post has sparked a backlash with the largest police union in the country, condemning the Lakers star message as disgraceful and extremely reckless. The National Fraternal Order of Police tweeted that LeBron should educate himself and frankly has a responsibility to do so on the facts before weighing in. So a lot of people outraged by what he had to say. Let's see more of your comments here. To people like Michael. Michael, if you can help me out when you make a comment, if you just say no, which you said, I'm not sure what the no is referring to. I think you're referring to whether or not he should have been disciplined by the NBA. But if you could be a little bit more descriptive in your comment, that will help me know what you are responding to, because I want to definitely respond and get your feedback as well. So question number one, let's break these down a little bit. Question number one, is this tweet an incitement to violence? That is a case that is being made by many. Is this tweet an incitement to violence? The next question is this tweet right? Is it correct? And should there be ramifications for the tweet? Now, you should know the tweet is no longer up. LeBron took it down once the outrage started to fly. So the tweet is not there. He must have realized something in order to take it down. Ryan wants to say the officer should be charged. If you're talking about the Micaiah Bryant, Ryan, please go back to the podcast that we did last week. We went through this situation step by step by step. And I believe that not only should the officer not be charged, but the officer is a hero. Had 11 seconds to decide what to do in this case. And I believe followed his training, followed everything that was going on. There was just no time to react. The minute he sees a knife being thrust towards another individual, that's when you use deadly force. And if we're going to charge police officers for using deadly force to save somebody from being stabbed, then we'll never have police officers. Never again. Heather says, I'm not sure it was inciting violence, but it is threatening. Todd says, what did he do wrong? Todd, are you referring to the police officer or are you referring to LeBron? Again, try and give me a little bit more clarity in your questions so that I can respond appropriately. Question number one, is this an incitement to violence, as some have claimed? No, this is not an incitement to violence. This is an incitement to continue to judge all police officers with the actions of others. But what is LeBron talking about when he says, you're next? Let's break it down. What is he talking about? Is there an incident of a police officer being shot or hurt or injured that LeBron could be referring to? Not that I'm aware of. So what is LeBron referring to? I think it's clear and obvious what he is referring to. He is referring to Derek Chauvin and the conviction. I don't have any reason to believe that he's referring to anything else. So I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that this is an incitement to violence. This is a statement of belief that the officer who shot Micaiah Bryant will be charged and held accountable. This is, I don't interpret this in any way, shape, or form as an incitement of violence. What do you think of that? Todd says he was asking Ryan to explain what the officer did wrong. Cameron says it is not incitement. This was after the Chauvin verdict, and I believe this was in reference to that. I believe he took it down after the video made it clear that he himself jumped the gun, if you pardon the pun. I think you are exactly right, Cameron, and I agree with you. Heather says, is the tweet supposed to still be up? I can't see your face. You want to see my face instead of the tweet? There you go. Jenny says, that makes sense, Jay. Again, you have to ask the question. What we just want to jump to conclusions so quickly, but you have to ask the question, what is LeBron referring to? Is he saying that this officer should have an act of violence committed against them? No, he's not. He's saying you're going to be held accountable just like Derek Chauvin. That's what he's saying. Brandon says every citizen should have to serve 1 to 2 years mandatory public service, be it law enforcement or militia or military. Heather was saying, I was just wondering if my screen froze. Nope, still here. Now, I'll also add this. There's this bar. I don't know if you saw this. It's a bar in Cincinnati, Lenny's Pub. They went viral on Facebook, posting that they would not be showing any NBA games on its various televisions until LeBron James was kicked out of the NBA. They said, if anyone wants to watch an NBA game, don't come to Lenny's Pub. We will not air them until LeBron James is expelled from the NBA. Well, we know that's not going to happen. LeBron James responded on Twitter. He said, aw, damn, I was heading there to watch our game tonight and have a drink. Welp. So the question about whether or not this was inciting violence, can we all agree this was not an incitement to violence? But was it an informed decision? Was it after having watched the video and gotten all the facts and taken your time and research to really find out what was going on? I don't think so. Was it judging this officer because you've seen videos of other officers behaving badly? So now you immediately say, oh, here's another situation. Black person being shot by a white cop. Automatically, it's wrong and the officer should be charged. I've been telling you, this is one of the things that I have been fighting against throughout all of this, that we do not fall into the trap of blaming anybody for the actions of somebody else. We'd never allow this to happen to us if we're a member of a particular group and someone in our group does something. We would never allow us as individuals to be labeled or held accountable to what that person does. We want our own innocence until proven guilty, right? That's what we want. So we have to guard against that. And there's a huge temptation out there to want to blame every police officer for the actions of the one. So do I think his tweet was inappropriate? I would say uninformed, that I disagree with it. I would love to sit down with LeBron and anybody who believes that that officer should be charged. I would love to sit down and walk them through the video and say, at what point was this officer supposed to employ de-escalation techniques? at what point was this officer supposed to allow somebody else to be stabbed right in front of him? At what point does this officer do something wrong? I would love to have that conversation. I would absolutely love it. Now, the question of whether or not the NBA should hold him accountable. The NBA has decided to side with their players, and they've decided to allow politics to creep its way into their league. And they've lost a lot of loyal viewers because of that. And I support and I fight for their right to be able to do that. It was like with the whole flag controversy, when people would say, well, they're not allowed to just protest. They're employees. They have to do what their employers say. You can't just do this on the job. And my response to that was, their boss is letting them. And if your boss lets you do that, then you can do that. If their boss was saying you can't do that, then I would be supporting the decisions of those business owners, and I would be saying, hey, you can't do that. But that's not the case. The NFL, the NBA, other sports, other professional sports have said, we're going to allow this. So one tweet that was taken down, I don't think that there's any reason or any point to discipline. What do you guys think about that? I was just going to give out the phone number. I was reverting back to my radio days. I was going to give out the phone number. Just text your comment in. Those of you who are on TikTok, I'm using a different system tonight, and I don't see you the way that I normally see you. So maybe my experiment has failed, but say hello if you are on TikTok. I see Bob and Hayden on TikTok. Say hello. Jenny says, after you've explained that perspective of his tweet, now I understand why he wasn't disciplined or fired. He was calling for legal responsibility and accountability to that officer. Now, we can agree or disagree about whether or not that officer acted appropriately, and we're all entitled to those opinions. If he was saying, hey, we need to target this officer with something more than criminal charges, that would be a different story. Cameron on Facebook, many people complain that certain people get fired or what they do on their personal social media, cancel culture. This is the same. People's personal accounts do not represent the place of their employment and shouldn't. Cameron, yes and no. I'll give you an example from my own life. Okay, I've been a talk radio show host for 20 years. I've been under contract for all 20 of those years. Within each of those contracts, there has been a clause that talks about my behavior inside and outside of the organization. If I were to tweet something or say something that reflected back upon the organization that is employing me, then that organization does have a right to say, sorry, you're now hurting our business. So think about it, if you're a talk show host and you're doing things that drives away listeners, they have every right to say, sorry. Now, that I'm a public figure in that scenario. So in other scenarios, you have to ask the question, if nobody really knows who you work for or what your connection is to that business, and you tweet something out, I would just think from a standards point of view that the business should be able to demonstrate that you have done damage to them. You have done damage to their reputation. But there are certainly scenarios and cases where your individual actions can hurt the bottom line of a business and the reputation of a business. And if a business feels that you have done that, have every right to let you go. And so I don't, it's not as clear, as you would like to think. If the NBA wanted to have a no politics policy, they could do that. And they could hold their players accountable to that. I'll tell you another example. Every radio station that I've worked at, inside these contracts that I'm talking about and the standards for the company, they tell their employees not to get involved in a public way into political causes. You have to be able to show some level of objectivity. So if you're a journalist, for example, you don't see journalists out supporting causes, political causes. Why is that? Is it because they don't have a political belief or a viewpoint? No, it's because if people saw them out there at these rallies or in politics, and then they see them on the air reporting on those things, who's going to consider them to be objective? And then that's going to hurt the bottom line of the news organization, which is ultimately a business. So there are absolutely cases in employment where somebody's actions can hurt the team or hurt the business. And if the Lakers feel that this is one of those situations with LeBron, they could discipline him. They could fine him. And they would have every right to do so. Because clearly what LeBron James does has an impact on the bottom line of the Lakers. Clearly. Right? Brandon says, we might have reached a point where we have jumped the shark, meaning reactions are now over reactions. Yeah, I want to share this with you because to me, this is how you respond. You know, and that's one thing that we're missing in our society. We've forgotten how to respond. So if you're somebody who wants to respond to LeBron in a way that maybe people will listen and you'll change hearts and minds, I have an example of that. Orion says, that's why it was so hard to get your KSL friends to come see you or pay a visit during your campaign. They had to remain objective. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Daryl Sprout on Facebook says affiliation can be problematic from multiple angles. Yeah. This is talking about how we should be responding in society as opposed to how we're all knee-jerking. This is a Black Los Angeles police officer who has worked in the city's Skid Row area for 2 decades. He has invited LeBron James to have a discussion about policing following LeBron's tweet. And he wrote a heartfelt letter. I don't know if you caught this, but it is worth the read. This is Dean Joseph, a 24-year veteran of the LAPD. He posted this letter to his Facebook page Sunday, addressed to James, where he called his stance on policing off-base and extreme. Let's see what he has to say. He says, Dear LeBron, I'm not going to come at you from a place of hatred. There will be no name calling. I was raised to see the whole of a human being, not to hyper focus on their flaws and make said flaws the whole of who they are. I am an honest man. He goes on to say, what you do for children and other acts of charity shows a huge heart. You show to be a family man, and that's to be respected. You play for the team my family has cheered for since the 1960s, then myself since 1979. But your current stance on policing is so off base and extreme. Your tweet that targeted a police officer in Ohio who saved a young woman's life was irresponsible and disturbing. It showed a complete lack of understanding of the challenge of our job in the heat of a moment. You basically put a target on the back of a human being who had to make a split-second decision to save a life from a deadly attack. a decision I know he and many others wish they never had to make, especially when it involves someone so young. Instead of apologizing, you deflected. You said you took your tweet down because you did not want it to be used for hate, when the tweet itself was the embodiment of hatred, rooted in a lack of understanding of the danger of the situation. I don't know if this will ever reach you, but my hope is that one day I can sit down with you and talk. As a man of faith, I can have no hatred towards you, but I do feel I can help you understand the reality of the profession of policing, and that there is another side you need to hear. You are tired of black folks dying, so am I. You hate racism and police brutality, so do I. But you cannot paint 800,000 men and women who are of all races, faiths, sexual orientations, and are also mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, preachers, coaches, community members, and just human with such a broad and destructive brush. Unlike some who have dug their heels in the belief that police are inherently evil, I think if you yourself actually sat down and had a real honest and open conversation with a cop, there is a strong chance you may discover we are not the monsters you have come to believe we are, who deserve the hate and disdain you have. And even if you come away feeling the same way, I could respect it, because at least you gave the other side your ear instead of only hearing one narrative. The offer is on the table. LeBron, no cameras, no fanfare, just two men who care talking. I know it's a long shot, but this division and hatred must stop. It's clear, based on rising crime in marginalized communities, that cops and the community need to build bridges to save lives on all sides. That cannot be done through the demonization of any group of people. Just putting it out in the universe, brother. Even if not me, please take the time to talk to a police officer instead of judging them. No shade. Thanks for all the positive things that you do. Wow. Again, that was Dion Joseph, a black police officer, 24-year veteran of the LAPD, responding to LeBron James's tweet. That is an amazing response. Let's see. Ryan says, where do you want me to start? Three officers present, only one officer fired his weapon. Instead of attempting to break up a fight with mace, taser, etc., he chose to just use deadly force. Three grown men cannot get control of a teenager. 11 seconds, four shots. You're responding to Todd. Ryan, your characterization is completely off. Your narrative is off. It is completely off. The three officers were not present. Only one officer was present. The one officer had just arrived on the scene. That officer gets out of his vehicle, and within seconds of getting out of his vehicle, bodies are flying towards them because people are brawling. Then, so that's when he pulls out his weapon. Now, we talked about this the other night. The reason you don't pull out a taser in this situation is because a taser is only good on one person. In those few seconds, when the officer first arrives and he has to jump out of the way of bodies flying towards him, he cannot know in that moment how many threats there are. Who is a threat to him? Who is a threat to other people? When there are multiple threats, pulling out a taser, which can only be fired one time, I wouldn't do it, and I would never ask an officer to do it. Then, as the officer is trying to give commands, one of the individuals, a 16-year-old, jumps to her feet, charges another person, pulls back the knife and begins to fire. Your point that 11 seconds, four shots, is a point in favor of the police officer's actions. How quickly this happened. And I believe that I have the video right here in case you are interested. Now watch how many officers are truly on the scene. Watch that the moment that this officer gets out of the vehicle and takes two steps forward, there are bodies flying at him. Watch as he pulls his weapon out and tries to get some reaction. There's a guy on the right side of him in a gray hoodie or sweatshirt who kicks the other girl who's on the ground in the face towards the officer. And tell me that this officer, in the heat of that moment, as he sees a knife being pulled backwards, that officer is somehow supposed to tase, mace, by committee? Stop it. Here come the bodies. Look at that. He's got to jump out of the way. Gun out. Look at that kick. Here's the neighbor cam. How many officers on the scene? Oh, look. One. Gets out. Watch the bodies start flying towards him. Here they come. He has to get out of the way. Pulls out his gun to try and get people to stop. Looks up and sees the woman holding the knife and pulling the knife back as far as she can to lunge it forward. Yeah, let me tell you what happens, Ryan, if they try to tase or mace in this scenario. That woman gets stabbed. There is no time to make that conclusion. And your narrative is like there were three officers on the scene and only one threat. Nonsense. One officer on the scene, unknown threats. Unknown threats. Let's see. Michael says, Ryan, did you watch? No way to stop the stabbing. Todd says, I don't understand the point you're trying to make. She was in the process of stabbing someone and could have killed her. Yeah, the whole 11 seconds point is that's on the side of the officer. You're like, oh, he shot within 11 seconds. That means he didn't properly assess the situation. He didn't take time to assess the situation. What more processing do you need when you see somebody pulling back a knife who has not responded to your commands and is about to stab with that knife? And you still don't know who the other threats are. Ryan says the second officer is walking up. The second officer is not even close to on the scene when the shots are fired. Watch again. You tell me that other officer could have made a difference. You tell me that other officer could have stopped the stabbing. There's only one person in that scenario that could stop the stabbing. And look how far away that officer is. The other officer is walking up, has approached the back of the other vehicle when the guns are shot. If either officer waits, then that woman in pink gets stabbed. If either officer waits 1 second longer, if this goes 12 seconds with indecision, that woman in pink could be dead. Your narrative that there's three officers there and they could have tased and done other stuff. Stop it. Are you telling me? Look at all the people there. How do these officers know who's a threat and who isn't a threat? I'll tell you one thing. They know the woman with the knife is. They know that for sure. So look at where that second officer is, Ryan, and tell me that officer is going to somehow tase or mace or stop the stabbing from happening. Tell me the first officer is going to pull out a taser, which can only deal with one threat, when that first officer doesn't know how many threats there are. I would never ask you to do that. Cameron says, what we need to do is get back to thinking the best of people that by default. Take both their actions and their words the best way we can. Take them with the information, or most of the time lack thereof, that we have at the time. We need to recognize, hang on, let me put it back up. We need to recognize that we don't have all the information, especially when the narrative is crafted by money-driven news. These officers need to be treated and judged by their individual actions, not by the actions of police officers you've seen in other videos. And Todd is asking Ryan, where's the third officer you mentioned? Again, that narrative, Ryan, that you gave is very problematic. You said three officers present. Only one officer fired his weapon. Instead of attempting to break up a fight with mace, taser, etc., he chose to use deadly force. Three grown men cannot get control of a teenager. Your narrative is completely false. All of it. It's completely false. Almost as if you hadn't watched the video before. That officer's a hero. Went into a situation where bodies are flying everywhere. Risks his own life. Sees that somebody's about to get stabbed. Pulls out his gun and in 11 seconds properly assesses the threat and neutralizes it. That's heroism right there. That's not criminal. I do not understand how you can expect him to do anything different in that scenario. Anything different gets the woman in pink stabbed, potentially gets him stabbed, and other people stabbed. The officer deserves a medal. And yeah, it's a horrible, stinky situation for anybody to be put in, for sure. Anything else? Any other comments tonight? Based upon what happened. Ryan, you got anything you want to say that we haven't considered? I would love to hear any comments that you have. While we are waiting, please take a minute and scan that flow code that you see right there on the screen. Take a picture with your camera. Become a patron, a monthly patron, or a one-time patron. Help us continue to spread the word of fearless honesty and principle-based opposition, not partisan-based opposition. Go to my website, jmcfarland.com, and make a donation. That will help me out. This is Todd. As I mentioned above, this is why I hate the ACAB acronym that so many people use. It's completely dishonest and unfair. Most cops are in it for the right reasons, and they have the most difficult job out there. You should know, if you listen to this broadcast, that I have no problem looking at a video or a circumstance and assessing that a police officer did wrong. We have seen plenty of that. But that does not mean that in this situation, the officer did wrong. And we must guard against judging any officers based upon the actions of others. Michael says he is amazing as he sees a man kick a woman and still sees the knife. Because that's the other thing going on. When you look, then this other man is standing right next to him and he hauls back and kicks that woman in the face. How's the officer know that guy's not a threat? He doesn't. He can't. Todd says, I feel like LeBron was guilty of that attitude in his tweet. I agree with you. I think that LeBron was caught up in the fervor against police brutality, and he assessed that situation perhaps too quickly and sent out that tweet. But we've learned tonight from people listening to this podcast that there are still those who believe, even after all that we've said about that video and after reading that passionate letter from that police officer, that somehow this officer was supposed to be able to tase all of the threats, mace all of the threats, or wait until there's two other officers on the scene and then subdue the person with the knife. Somehow, and that's the thing that I would ask Ryan or anybody else. What do you see that didn't happen that should have happened? That's what I don't understand. That officer waits one more second and somebody is stabbed. One more second. Heather says, Ryan, are you really suggesting to let the girl in pink just be killed because the girl with the knife would only get 20 years? I don't know if Ryan's still with us. Ryan, are you out there? Let me know if you're still with us. Any other comments or thoughts? I definitely want you to be heard, Ryan, if you disagree with anything that we've said here. I know you may be feeling a little ganged up on. But I would really love to know what the officer should have done. I would love to hear that. Or if you've changed your opinion. Ryan says you scared them off, Jay. Yeah, maybe I've changed your mind and you realize there weren't three officers on the scene. That 11 seconds speaks to what the officer did. It doesn't speak against what the officer did. These actions are heroic. And we should be looking at an officer who went in knowing from the 911 call that he was going into danger and was able to neutralize the main threat in that scenario. That's why, you know, I don't think LeBron was inciting violence, but wow. Did you really watch the video? Did you really take the time to assess what was really going on? Did you really take the time to learn the facts? Or did you just casually see it out of the corner of your eye and say, oh, one more example of police brutality? And that there's no possible way that that officer could have acted appropriately. Is that what happened? Yeah, I think we lost Ryan. He's no longer responding. Oh, well, we tried. We absolutely tried. He at least knows that his initial description was wrong. Michael says, do you have the 911 call? I'd like to hear it. I don't have that ready. But if you do a Google search, you can. It's all over the place. You can hear it. It was released by the police department. All right, with that's all I had for you. I'll let you kids go and get back to whatever you were doing. And hopefully next time we're not talking about another police shooting, but there is another case going on, as I talked about, where only 20 seconds of the body camera footage was revealed. There's an independent autopsy that questions what really happened. Was the individual shot from behind while sitting in the driver's seat with their hands on the steering wheel? I'm waiting because there's no way that you can process what happened based upon what we've heard so far. So there's a group of people that have already decided that this was murder, that this was police brutality. I don't know how you've come to that conclusion based upon what's been released. So I'm going to wait and not dive into or pick apart or judge I am more than willing, if the evidence leads me down that path, to say that an officer or multiple officers should be held accountable, and just like I did with Derek Chauvin, and I'm also more than ready to defend the actions of officers if I feel they need to be, they are warranted. Todd says, Jay, do you feel like reform is needed to make it okay for good cops to speak up about bad cops? I think a lot of people are anti-cop because they focus on the Chauvins of the world and not the countless officers who are in it for the right reasons. Todd, you're actually bringing up something that helps perpetuate the narrative that we're both trying to combat, and that is that officers aren't allowed to speak. I shared with you a rare letter written by an officer on a Facebook page. I don't know if that officer is going to be held accountable or not, because one of the standards for police officers is you do not speak to the media under any circumstances. So police officers, you know that they're dying to, but they can't be out. It would be great if you had a lot of officers out saying what Derek Chauvin did was wrong. We saw that in a courtroom, finally. But officers in general are not allowed to weigh in. So, you know, it's hard to know what the feelings are of officers because of that. But they're not allowed to. They're just not allowed to speak up. And that makes it very different. Orion says that fearless honesty comes at you like 45 ACP and all you got is a kitchen knife. I do have a 45, by the way. All right. Everybody, thank you so much. Thank you for your feedback and your opinions. I'll let you go. My plan is to be back with you on Thursday night. President Biden is going to address Congress. Well, gee, he must actually be the president. Maybe we're ready to admit that. If he talks about things tomorrow night that we need to focus on, then we'll do that. Please let me know in the comments if there are things that you want me to dive into and things you want me to talk about. Todd says, thanks, Jay. Thank you, everybody. And with that, I'll let you go. Have a wonderful night.